Been trying to make this interview happen for a little while. This man has a very busy schedule. You will remember him from the Canadian airwaves, CBC, TSN as well. He is now getting it done for ESPN. British Columbian native Nabil Kareem joining us here on the Scott Rentals Show. Nabil, thank you very much for doing this. How are you?
Good, man. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem whatsoever. Nice to get you back into the parts where your career began and your broadcasting career got started. And Jamie, yesterday, we started talking about our guest list. He's my producer, and he said, yeah, so we've got Mike Gartner, we've got Kareem, and some of the Kareem. So we threw you as a one-name Kareem guy. I'm not sure that's what you're going by in the States. I'm not sure if you have the same cachet as Abdul-Jabbar quite yet.
No, if they know my first name or they know either like first or last name, I'm good with that. At this point, you know, being like somebody who's new, if they can just remember Nabil or Kareem, I'll take either, man, at this point. I don't even care. No, it's all good. And I'm glad to be back. I think people probably wouldn't even know this connection, but Scott, you were really good to me when I was in school. I don't want to make you feel old or anything like that, but like when I was in school. No, but you were young. You were really young in the industry. You were trailblazing in the industry as a young guy. And I believe you were at Sportsnet at that time. And I was at BCIT, and I still remember my first semester going through, like, basically sessions of critiques. And listen, I know my stuff wasn't good, but I sat down with you, and you gave me great advice, and I've always appreciated that. So lots of time for you, man.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. It's very kind of you to say. I was going to ask you, with the move from Canada to the States, and it's one that a lot of young broadcasters look at, it's one that a lot of sports fans view as well. How's the transition been for you to ESPN?
It's been really good. I mean, listen, I'm not going to lie. When I got the opportunity to do it, I was excited. It's again, not something a lot of people do, so there isn't a blueprint for, there is sort of one, but not too many people do, like you said. So you come down and it's kind of the fear of the unknown a little bit. You know what I mean? Like I was kind of TSN, things were good. And then now you go to this whole different beast and ESPN is just, it is that, it's a beast. It's huge. And the scope is just so much bigger, but, it's been incredible, man. It's been incredible and much better than I thought it would have gone to this point. So I'm lucky in that sense. And it's kind of crazy because I was telling my wife, like, at the end of April, it'll be a year that I've been in Connecticut. And so that's been a long time, and the year's just flown by. But just with the resources we have here and support and everything, it's been a pretty special year. It's the best decision I've ever made.
One of the things that has served you very well in this industry is your ability to cover a lot of different things. Your versatility has been key to your success, in my opinion. And one of the things you do right now for ESPN is you host In the Crease hockey show. How is presenting hockey in the States different than the way you went about it north of the border?
It's different. It's different. Like In the Crease for us, it's on ESPN Plus. And so if you're coming to watch In the Crease, you're a hardcore hockey fan, right? That's a destination for a hardcore hockey fan in the States. So the way we present hockey would be a lot like, I mean, I know it's a different network, but the way we used to do hockey highlights on That's Hockey Tonight on TSN. And it would be kind of like what you get on, Sportsnet or TSN as far as hockey highlights. Because we do every single game. I get to work with Barry Melrose on some nights, which is great when he's in there. And Barry's just amazing. He's a legend here in the States. It's pretty amazing to see the way people interact with him and the way they talk about him. But in working with him, I can see why. He is so good. He knows so much. But it is different, though. Like, we consume hockey in Canada like they consume the NFL in the States. You know what I mean, content-wise? So there's less content for hockey on a Sports Center. I think we go less in-depth into the game on a Sports Center. But when we get to, like, In the Crease, because, again, that's a destination show for hockey fans, we're giving them as much as we can. So we're definitely getting in to, extended highlight packs. Barry's going to break it down when he's in studio with me. And so I think in that sense, it hasn't changed too much. But as far as the scope, I mean, it's no secret, right? Hockey is not what it is in Canada. And the interest is, it varies. Like, for me, again, it was interesting because when I got there, I think an icebreaker for a lot of people when they, first were getting to know me is they wanted to talk hockey, right? And you know what? SVP always talks hockey with me. That's his one thing, is his connection with me is he talks hockey with me. He's a big Caps fan. So in that, I realized, hey, there are a lot of hockey fans out here. It's maybe not to the level of what it is in Canada, but you know, the game is definitely something of interest in the United States.
Has Melrose convinced you to grow a mullet yet?
I always talk to him about his hair. You know, here's the thing. I always took pride in like my hair, and I feel like I spend a lot of money on hair products. Like I'll try to get, you know, and I say hair products. I don't use gel. I use hair products. And there's a difference. And I think Barry's the one guy who's taught me on using hair product. Like he won't tell me how much he spends on his like mousse or whatever he uses. Cause I know Barry's not using product. He's using like, he's old school. He's probably using mousse or even just like licking his hand and pushing his hair back. But, no, he's funny. I always call him the best hair in hockey. I think he loves it. Secretly, he loves it.
I'm sure he does. Nabil Kareem joining us this morning. He of ESPN on the Scott Rintoul Show. Hey, we're a month away from the end of the regular season, so I have to ask you, Hart Trophy debate. It's heating up right now. How do you handicap the race?
For me, it's – I mean, I think Leon Draisaitl, for me, has to be a front runner. You know, seeing what he's done on that team. And, again, it almost kind of reminds me of, like, LeBron and Anthony Davis in a way, where Anthony Davis probably doesn't get enough love for what he's done for the Lakers, but, you know, because LeBron's there and Connor McDavid, again, but the Oilers, and Connor McDavid is Connor McDavid, don't get me wrong. But, you know, he's missed some time this year, and Leon's picked up the slack, and he's been incredible. Like, I mean, look how good his deal looks now. I remember when he signed that deal and the uproar with that, and now look how great it looks. And for me, again, he's running away with the scoring race. The Oilers are in playoff contention. If he wasn't on that team, or if he wasn't as good as he's been, where would the Oilers be right now? Because the Pacific's crazy. But a dark horse for me, and I always say this one in the crease, has been Artemi Panarin. Because I know the Rangers are not in a playoff spot right now, but they're right there. They've been one of the hottest teams in hockey recently. And what he is doing for that team is incredible. On a night-to-night basis, I think his points per game is at a career high for him. And then you look at the help he's got. He's got Zibanejad, but I think Zibanejad's got like 34, 35 less points than Panarin, something along that range. So he's been a one-man machine. I mean, when we do these highlights, I expect Panarin to be in every single Ranger highlight. And if he can get them into the playoffs, I think maybe as a dark horse, you would see him getting some votes.
Yeah, I had outlined the case for him on a recent show as well. He'll get that Taylor Hall, Nathan MacKinnon bump from a couple of years ago if he drags that team into the playoffs. Not that
exactly.
They don't have any other skill, but he's just so far ahead of it, and he's been so incredible going over to the Rangers this year. You mentioned LeBron and Anthony Davis. I know you're a big hoops guy as well, so I did want to talk a little basketball. Kobe Bryant's passing has obviously been the focal point of the NBA for the past month and a half. What do you think the biggest story in the association is this year outside of Kobe Bryant?
You know, free agency was so crazy this past offseason, and there's so many changes, you know, Kawhi and LeBron, you know, AD and all this sort of stuff that happened. And I still think, for me, the biggest – I wouldn't say it's a story, but more of a theme has been the young kids in this league, man. Like they have, like Luka Doncic is, and we knew he was really good, but I don't think anyone knew he was this good already. Luka Doncic is right there. And now we're seeing Zion. I think it's now 12 straight games where he's at 20 plus points. And listen, who knows where his health is at right now. You know, his conditioning and everything like that. When he gets to peak form, what he's going to be like. Ja Morant's been amazing. You got Trae Young. The list goes on and on. Jason Tatum, player of the month, right? Like, I think the league is in really good hands. And you always have that conversation, right? Like, when Jordan was leaving, it's like, who is he leaving the game to? It was Kobe at that time. And then when Kobe started to age, it's like, who is he leaving it to? And it's LeBron. And how LeBron, and like, how do you fill that void for LeBron James? Because I still don't think we appreciate LeBron for what he is. And we're going to miss him when he's gone. But now you're looking, and LeBron just talked about this the other day, I think, just, you know, all the young players in the game, and it's at such a good spot because these guys are just starting out. They're not peaking. They're just starting out. So I think for me, just seeing some of these young players and what they're doing for their teams at the point of their career that they're in, it's pretty special. And that's just more of a theme for me, just young players in the NBA and where it's going.
Well, and what's so exciting for people on this side of the border is that there are Canadians in that mix. They are on that list, not the least of which is our guy getting it done with OKC this year.
Oh, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is unbelievable. And you know, I used to watch him carefully in college, and we were covering March Madness at the time, and Jack Armstrong would always tell me, and Sam Mitchell, like, this kid's a player, man. Like, he's thin, he looks a little small, this kid's a player. And now you talk stateside here. I'm telling you, man, people are talking about him a lot, you know, on Get Up and our NBA shows. There's a lot of talk about how well he's playing. Like the other night, I think it was last night, they played the Clippers. And they had him on Kawhi. Like, that is no easy feat. That's a sign of respect, you know, having him on Kawhi Leonard. And he's just got this cool confidence about him. You knew he was good last year, right, when he got the opportunity. We knew even before that, but, like, last year really got the opportunity to step up. And I think playing with Chris Paul doesn't hurt. Maybe some people might have thought that, hey, he would take some time away. No, I think it's a good thing having Chris Paul there and learning from Chris, too, at the same time. And that team has been an incredible story. Like, they've been one of the hottest teams in basketball. I think it's, like, the third best over the last, like, 20, 30 games. So what he has been able to do quietly, and I don't think it's going to be quietly for too much longer, is pretty impressive.
Yeah,
and he had the great sweater. He had the great hoodie the other day, too, right?
Oh, man. That takes some swag. He walks in to play the Clippers, who have Tyronn Lue as one of their assistant coaches, and Gilgeous Alexander walks in there with the step-over hoodie, which is Allen Iverson stepping over Tyronn Lue. Yeah. But that's the NBA, right? They're not afraid to put it out there.
Dude, and that thing, it's so funny. Like, their entrances have become a runway. It's a fashion runway, and the players have embraced it over the last few years. I was just telling my producer yesterday, I would love to do a story on how much players pay for, like, fashion consultants and how much, you know, free stuff they're getting, or how much, you know, branding and clothing design they're working with just for these, like, entrances, because each and every game, it's a big deal for most players. And Gilgeous Alexander, he's been a guy, if you go back to his Instagram account and Twitter account since he started in the league, he's been a guy who's all over the fashion. So I'm not surprised he came out with that. I don't know if there's a backstory with the Tyronn Lue, him knowing Lue, or, you know, obviously it's a shot right there, but maybe they're boys or something, or they have some kind of connection together. But I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought it was great. And it's funny you talk about the NBA stars embracing the fashion. It wasn't that long ago, really, that the NBA came in with that dress code policy and said, look, you're going to be on the bench, you're going to be wearing suits, you can't just be in whatever civvies you want to show up there in. And at the time, there was some sort of backlash, and the NBA players, to their credit, have said, okay, that's fine. When we're on the benches, we can be in suits, we can be dressed nicely, and we can also make our own personal fashion statements when we get to the podium, when we're walking in, and we can show people another side of our personality instead of just continuing to fight that fight. They said, okay, let's take this a different direction.
Absolutely. And Russell Westbrook's a great example of that, because some of the things Russ wears are outlandish, right? But Russ can pull it off in a Russ way. And then you look at some of these, like, top, you know, top 100 lists, top 50 lists at the end of the year of, like, the most fashionable people in the world. And Russ is on that list. And now he's in this fashion world. And now that's a part of his brand. And it's crazy. Like, they've been able to do all this stuff. And it's smart and good for these guys to be able to go and do that. And I will say, like, I even think NHL players, I've noticed too now, with there's a lot of runway shots for them. And they're not as outlandish as far as their style is concerned. But I'm big on suits, and I love, like, fashion and that kind of thing. And I think the NHL players have really stepped it up. I get a lot of Toronto in my feed still, so I see a lot of the Maple Leafs. And, like, Austin Matthews is working with, like, Garrison Bespoke in Toronto. And these guys, they look good, man. And I kind of like the fact that NHL players are jumping on board, too, with that.
Yeah, they're a little slow to the trend, but that's kind of the NHL way. Eventually, right, the NHL gets there. And you're right, the NFL has made strides. Guys showing up in, like, SWAT team outfits at times and coming in different themes, showing up for games, and it has become a big deal. You mentioned Toronto. Before I let you go, I do want to ask you, as a guy who obviously covered the Raptors in great detail and has gone south of the border, one of the things that kind of is amusing to me about Raptors fans is they're always looking for validation from the U.S. market, the same way that Canucks fans look for validation from the national media. Is it real? Are they disrespected south of the border?
Okay, this is going to take a minute. So, here's my thing. Okay, everyone was, yes, and I think you're correct. I think you're correct, because ESPN came out with a poll early in the year, and the Raptors weren't in the top 10, and people were flipping, and they should have been in the top 10. I agree. Like, I think they should have been. The record proved it at that time. But at the beginning of the year, nobody thought Toronto would be where they are. And if they did, I don't know if they're lying or they're just jumping on that bandwagon now, but I don't think many people thought the Raptors would be in the position they are right now. But they started off well, and they were kind of starting to rise, and they didn't make this top 10 poll. And, dude, I'm telling you, my inbox was just full of people trashing me as if I made the list, first of all. And then B, oh, like I'm a trade. It was just ridiculous, but it's so funny. And I would tweet some people back saying, hey, remember you're the champs, right? Like we're the champs, you know, whatever way you want to put it, right? Like you are still the champions. And I think you even go back to like the Kawhi Leonard stuff, which kind of just drove me nuts that when Kawhi left, people in Toronto, and I don't think everybody, but there were some people really, really ticked at him. And it's so funny because you go back to the narrative, and I still remember being on SportsCenter the day he got traded. And we're talking about it, and at that time, DeMar DeRozan left, and I understand why, you know, the connection with Toronto, and people were upset. And people just didn't realize how good Kawhi was, right? And then we got a little selfish in Toronto, which is fine because he became so good. And it's like, oh, if he can get us to the conference finals, that'll be amazing. He can go wherever he wants. Kawhi never once promised that he was going to stay in Toronto. And then he gets to that championship. And again, like he got to a championship and, you know, he leaves and then, you know, fans are upset, which I just didn't understand. Like he got you a championship. Put that in perspective. Like, when did you ever think the Toronto Raptors were going to win a championship? When are you ever going to get a player like that? That's one thing. And then the second thing is, again, this year, like you said, people are just, I mean, they're upset. They're like, oh, we don't get enough love. Well, whatever. It doesn't matter. You're still the champs. So maybe I see it from a different perspective now. I still understood that when I was in Toronto. But at the same time, now I kind of see it and I'm like, it looks kind of silly. And the other thing, by the way, is this whole Vancouver-Toronto hate is ridiculous too. I got these people from Vancouver the other day. I was in Vancouver and I was like saying some things about Vancouver. I went to a Canucks game in Brooklyn. And people are like, hey, man, you're a traitor. And like, what? it's like you can't like both cities. Like, they're different cities. I love them for different things, right? But it's so funny, man. We got to have a whole different discussion on why Vancouver hates Toronto and Toronto doesn't care about Vancouver, because that's a real thing.
It absolutely is a real thing. And maybe we'll do that the next time we have you on. Thanks, man. Keep doing the great work you're doing south of the border. And I really appreciate you taking a few minutes to come on with us.
Dude, anytime.